Back on the local beat with O'Brien, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry and somebody we trust to bring us that local news. Sits on the hotline right here, right now. He is Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle Telegram. Dave, how are we today, sir?
Good, Rocco. Thanks for asking.
Good to hear, Dave. Good to hear. Let's start with an article that you penned yourself in the last couple of days. Lorain County being sued over this whole radio contract situation. Our own Craig Adams had a lot of this in yesterday's morning and early afternoon news. And we, of course, have been covering this since this whole process has really been underway, involving, again, Lorain County, the county commissioners, Cleveland Communications, and this whole radio situation with our first responders. What's the latest with this, Dave?
Well, the latest is basically the fact that Cleveland Communications, when commissioners back on January 9th rescinded contracts that had been approved just about almost 3 weeks earlier by commissioners, then commissioners Matt Lundy and Commissioner Michelle Hung, when Commissioner David Moore and Commissioner Jeff Riddell got their hands on it, they decided to rescind the nearly $8 million contract. At the time, Cleveland Communications, through its attorney, said that it planned to sue. And last week, at the end of last week, did exactly that. Has filed an 18-page lawsuit with a number of additional pages of documents, exhibits attached to that. The Parliament-based company has accused the county of breaching its contract when Moore and Riddell rescinded the 19-day-old agreement. This case is assigned to the courtroom of Lorain County Common Pleas Judge John Moraldi. It seeks to force the board to reinstate the contract and pay compensatory and other damages in excess of $15,000. I'm sure that is a larger dollar amount than $15,000, but for the purposes of the lawsuit itself, typically, when you hear that somebody's been sued for $100 million, well, under Ohio state law, they put a floor, a minimum amount. That over that is what they're suing for. So this is in all likelihood a much larger lawsuit than just the $15,000 that it says in the story. But basically, it accuses the county of rescinding the contract and doing so unconstitutionally, illegally, arbitrarily, capriciously, unreasonably, and quote unsupported by the law and a preponderance of substantial, reliable, or probative evidence. Basically, it just says that that the county was wrong to do this. They had signed a contract. They sort of reneged on that contract. County commissioners didn't have a heck of a lot to say. David Moore said that it was too bad that the CCI had sued. Legal counsel for the board, Dan Petticord, from the Lorain County Prosecutor's Office, said he had no comment on the pending litigation. Riddell was sort of much the same. He didn't really. He didn't really have much to say about it, although he told me he had read a copy of the lawsuit. Commissioner Hung said basically CCI did what it said it was going to do and fulfilled the promise that it would sue the county. And she said, she couldn't really comment on the lawsuit on advice of legal counsel. So there you have it. I mean, that lawsuit is now pending in court, and we'll continue following, any updates on that. There is a possible chance. There's the potential for sort of a settlement or for the two sides to come together and hash out an agreement. Moore also said that, they're just sort of, the board is sort of looking to move forward, looking to figure out the best way to get the proper equipment to first responders, but also, doing the process properly this time. And there have been allegations of impropriety, mm-hmm. Throughout this entire process. And I think we've discussed those a little bit, whether or not the bid was proper, whether or not it was proper to just let one company just have one bid, one full bid from one company be sort of the thing that was voted upon. But it is notable that another company decided not to bid, and then a third company submitted a bid that was incomplete. So that comes directly from county officials themselves. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with this case, but we'll continue following here at the Chronicle Telegram offices.
Well, and obviously you don't know for sure, Dave, how exactly this plays out, but I can't help but think that this current lawsuit would probably put a strain in terms of the commissioners trying to find that next contract, right? I mean, just trying to deal with this lawsuit probably keeps the hands tied, again, just in terms of trying to find that new contract, wouldn't you assume?
I think it's one of these situations where now that you have this lawsuit and you're going to start having legal discovery and you're going to start having discussions about it, publicly to whatever extent that can happen. Now there will be other companies that will know what CCI's bid was, and this is again some part of the criticism of the commissioners, is now that now other companies will know what CCI bid, how much they bid, what the process was like, what they promised, and now they can easily undercut or provide more for the same cost. When they rebid the project. So that's a concern that some people have expressed. That have expressed publicly. So yeah, I would say that's definitely something that should be looked at, that we're sort of watching out for. Whether or not this gives one company sort of a leg up over another, not really for me to say. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've not personally involved in the bid process, but from what I've seen, there have been some concerns about whether or not actually rescinding the contract might give somebody else an unfair advantage. Knowing what CCI had promised and what they were willing to quote as their price.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens next with that. Great work out of you, Dave, breaking that all down. Again, you can find more in the Chronicle Telegram, also at ChronicleT.com. Dave, the other story I wanted to discuss here with you this morning, brought to you by Kevin Martin. This was in Tuesday's Chronicle Telegram, I believe. The city of Elyria going from Lorain County to the big stage of New York, New York, in the form of an off-Broadway play. What's going on here, Dave?
Yeah, so playwright Deepa Purohit has written a story about her hometown, Elyria, titled very simply Elyria. It's directed by Awoye Tempo. Casting announcements were made on January 9th. Preview performances begin February 9th, and the official premiere is February 27th at the Atlantic Theatre Company's Linda Gross Theatre in Chelsea, New York City, New York. So this is really kind of cool. It centers around a very specific place and time, 1982 in Elyria, and the synopsis of the play is quote: two women collide 20 years, three continents, and two oceans after making the deal of a lifetime, forcing them to face the knots of their past and the uncertainty of their inextricably linked future. Deepa Purohit is a graduate of Lake Ridge Academy, attended Northwestern University, although born over in Wales in the United Kingdom, grew up in Elyria. Her father was an orthopedic surgeon at the former Elyria Memorial Hospital, he has since passed away. But Deepa Purohit, grew up in Eastern Heights, right here, just a couple blocks from our offices, and she wrote the play, and she told Kevin that she wasn't really necessarily interested in Lorain County's, second largest city, its county seat, sort of as a geographical place, but somewhere where many Indian immigrants had come to settle. Including many from the state of Gujarat, which is in western India, and her dad was in the Kiwanis Club, and she remembers celebrating Hindu festivals. It's really kind of interesting to see how the name of the city can appear in this play, and that something could have that much of a sort of a lasting effect on somebody who grew up here. And Purohit said, and I quote, "I'm just really inspired by these folks, but also placing it in the town that I grew up in and spent a lot of my childhood in," unquote. That's really kind of neat that Elyria will be on display as part of that theatrical performance. And again, that starts in New York City in late February.
That is awesome. A little slice and flavor of Lorain County, specifically the city of Elyria, making its way to the big play stages of New York, an off-Broadway play. Again, like you said, Dave, premiere set for February 27th at the Atlantic Theater Company's Linda Gross Theater. So that should be very awesome. Very interested to see how that all turns out. And again, for more on that, you can find Kevin Martin's article in Tuesday's Chronicle Telegram, also at ChronicleT.com. And again, we are joined now by Dave O'Brien of the Chronicle Telegram for this morning's Local Beat, brought to you by Vanda Mark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria. Dave, what are you and your colleagues over there at the CT working on this week? What can our listeners expect to find in the Chronicle?
Well, I got a couple stories out of court. It should be interesting to folks. Some stories out of Sheffield Lake from Owen McMillan, the newest member of our staff here, and Owen's been doing a bang up job. So please, if you're interested in Sheffield Lake and the goings on in that community, please do follow and read Owen's stories. He's doing a heck of a bang-up job. Also, some school news. out of Lorraine with Carissa Wojtak writing those stories. And Jason Hawk with a story on how Ohio law enforcement officers are preparing for Ohio's new cell phone law. You know, that you're not allowed to. There have been new restrictions placed on when and where you can use a cell phone when you're in your car. So yeah, so more on all of those kinds of stories in the Chronicle Telegram or at chronicle2.com.
Now, I don't know if you had heard or seen about this yet or not, but I can't believe, Dave, that they aren't sending you out to scan the streets of downtown Cleveland to find Guardians manager Terry Francona's missing scooter. And again, I don't know if you'd seen anything about this. I'll let you know. It was stolen over the weekend. The Guardians have confirmed this. And I think if anybody would be qualified to go find Tito's scooter, it would be you, Dave.
Oh, I'm a writer. I'm not the investigator, but I did hear something about a Tito scooter going missing. Oh. I hope there is a significant reward for the return of the of his vehicle. That is an iconic vehicle.
Oh God, yeah.
And how else is Tito supposed to get around now? You know, I'm a little concerned for the man.
Yeah, I mean, there's been weeks with the Guardians. If the injury report is bad enough, I mean, they've debated putting that scooter out there in center field. I mean, it's mobile, it's quick, it does okay at the dish when called upon. they need that thing back. They need that thing back. So hopefully Tito's scooter pops up. But more importantly than that, I guess you can check out Dave's work and all of his colleagues' work over there at the Chronicle Telegram. Pick up a copy of the CT today or go to chronicle2.com. Dave, we can close on this. If you could, give me your scanner story for this past week. Where are we headed?
Well, we're going over to Cleveland Heights, and this is going to be a real quick one, but a weird one nonetheless. Caller reports the theft of a toilet seat.
Ooh, that's... well, I hope it's exclusively guys in that house or apartment, because if not, that yields all kinds of potential problems there. So let's not be stealing toilet seats, right? If we're going to steal something, not the toilet seat. Unbelievable, unbelievable. Dave, entertaining and possibly unsanitary scanner story, but again, entertaining as always. And again, for the latest from Dave and all of his colleagues over there at the Chronicle, pick up a copy of that Chronicle Telegram today, or you can find that digital edition online at chronicle2.com. Dave, thank you for the time as always, my friend. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll catch up some more next Wednesday.
That's great, Rocco. We'll talk to you then.